Blog Talk Radio.
It is that time of night, 8 o'clock, time for another Wednesday night edition of BAMS Radio. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty in the back chat, so Carrie Clark may be in and out, but I am joined by the return, the one, the only, Bama Bird.
Bird,
how are you doing this evening?
Bird is the word. Bird is in the house, and man, I tell you what, I couldn't be more excited than a box of popcorn sitting on top of a log fire.
Absolutely, and I don't want to butcher the guy you brought in. You can bring him in. I'm sorry.
It's actually, we as we work to get Carrie on with us this evening, we are pleased to have in the studio with us one of Birmingham's longtime illustrious personalities, Mr. Bob Lockamy. Welcome to BAMS, Bob. And we get Bob from 97.7. He has got a new sports show with Ani Lindenberg and Art Clarkson, and they're going to be, I believe, every Sunday afternoon. I'm going to go let you give us a little bit about the show as we work to get Carrie on, and tell us what's going on, Bob.
Well, Greg, first, it's great to be here with you and Tom and Carrie and all your listeners. And you know, here we are Wednesday night, and we're 70-something hours away, if you calculate it one way or the other. And I'm excited. Back on the air, Sports and Stuff, that was the name of the show that Paul Feinbaum and I launched. I'm pleased with him. But 25 years ago, I said, Paul, you need to do this on a regular basis, and the rest is history. But I tell you what, this is exciting. We open our show, Charlie Daniels Fan, with the Saints going to do it again. But you guys rock.
I mean, whenever you got a guy that's 30 years old, 25 years old, Thomas?
I turned 27 last week.
Okay, I was right in the middle. right in the middle. But that's what I get for having a producer that's between 25 and 30 years old, Bob. I mean, this is it's old guys like you and I. Yeah, I would probably have Charlie Daniels on, but he picks the cool. So in fact, he may have some rap on for us later.
Oh, we can do that. I got me going.
Well, that's what I'm here for, guys. Thank you. Thank you to the band. Yeah.
And, Carrie, if you're listening out there, go ahead and just call into the show, 714-510-3707 will be the best way to get you on. Just use Skype and Skype on into the show. But, man, what a week we've got. We are on the eve of, well, first, Thanksgiving. Got lots to be thankful about. Thankful for family and friends and, free America and all the overused and overwrought things. But in all sincerity, you know, it's absolutely wonderful to, oh my goodness, I'm dead.
No, you're fine. What I hear you. Did you kill BTR?
No. Didn't. I haven't touched anything.
Well, we're getting off the ground today.
You know, Iron Bowl, great Iron Bowl show.
Do you think guys having an Auburn sell in? Remember, I'm just an adopted member of the Auburn family. So, but I'm afraid that maybe I've wreaked havoc on this great Bams radio.
Maybe, who knows? It could be just a simple case of the Auburn Booster Club not liking what we're going to say and preemptively counterattacking to bust out of George Bush.
It may be a situation in the Liberty Yield Foundation, which I haven't heard in a while. So, you know, it's funny, whenever they're winning, those guys are real quiet. So, well, there we go. It looks like some of us are back. Anyway, this is going to be a fun night on BAMS. We have got a bit of last week to talk about. Both Thomas and I think, attended the game, and our notes from the game are that, number one, it was cool that AJ got to throw a pass to his brother, and I guess you can still hear, you know, their mother's shriek of glee across the stadium. Pretty good crowd, you know, for it to be just dadgum cold. I was pleased with the crowd and pleased with everybody stayed, you know, not to the bitter end, but I stayed to the bitter end. How about you, Thomas?
Oh, yeah. It was cold, rainy, and rammer jammer was still fun.
It was, I hate to say it, I didn't even do a rammer jammer this time. I mean, come on, UT Chattanooga, for heaven's sakes.
I mouthed it. Let me put it to you that way.
Okay.
I would have felt it out like I would if I was in the other game.
It was not the LSU. It was not the LSU rammer jammer, correct?
Yeah. I can't remember. It was one of the games I attended when I was still a student at the University of Alabama. And it was one of those games where, you know, it was just everyone was angry. It might have been the 12-10 Tennessee game. I remember I screamed so loud I saw stars. So, you know, that's kind of my penultimate rammer jammer moment there.
Penultimate. Oh, that's nice. Penultimate. Well, let's see. I'm trying to still get Carrie on, and he's not on Skype, so.
He might.
Can I ask Thomas are you coming to the game Saturday?
Unfortunately not. I have been hired by another company to cover some international perfect gaming events, and I have to focus on that this weekend. But I'll still have it on one of my televisions.
I'm just relieved that yelling and screaming that you were just talking about is going to be, at least we're one shy of, you know, the Alabama Nation coming in full swing.
Well, you know. That was a few years back. I don't know if I've still got the pipes, but I would certainly try.
I would say from listening, you have the pipes.
Gee, thanks.
Thomas definitely has the pipes. And actually, Thomas is the rock of the show in that if I need a stat, he's my go-to guy. I can throw it, and Thomas has yet to fumble the ball. When I say, Thomas, who's the starting whatever for whoever? And Thomas is like, bam, Johnny on the spot with the information. So not only is he young, but he's bloody smart, and he's got the pipes to go with it.
Well, see, that confuses me because that's Art Clarkson's role with our organization, our team, the sports and stuff team. And I got in trouble the other day because I said, Art, I mean, you sound so good for 74. And he said, 74? I'm only 72.
Art Clarkson is a hoot. If you haven't met him or talked to him or listened to him, the guy is, again, one of the icons from the Birmingham radio scene and the broadcasting scene. So it's gonna be a hoot. Have we got Carrie on yet? Carrie, are you with us?
I don't see him in the call, but he did just join back on Skype. I'm hoping a restart fixed the issue.
Yeah, let's see if I can get Mr. Clark with us, because I know that he's got a letter that I'm dying to hear. He said that he's got a letter from an Auburn fan that he was going to read to us this evening. And even if you have to call his call out to him, give him a call. Let me see if I can get him on with us, though, real quickly.
I wonder if that letter is from David Housel.
Here it is.
Do you think David Housel authored that letter?
No.
No.
That's old school.
I'm an old guy.
Carrie, you with us?
Yes.
Hi.
My computer made me do this Skype upgrade, and I don't know what happened, but I'm here, and thank you guys for your patience.
You know what? You have to love technology. We're spread all over the planet.
I know.
Trying to get this show going. So.
Well, listen, without further ado, do you guys mind if I read an open letter to the Auburn Nation that was written by BK23, Bama Katie, who's a member of various internet boards? This thing is gold, and I've only got about 20 minutes before our game starts.
Go, baby. Go. You got it.
Listen, and listen carefully. All of you in the Auburn Nation, please just listen. Dear friends on the plains, delusion is a powerful thing. In small doses, it is actually useful. It can make the daunting seem doable, the distasteful practically delightful. Delusion in small doses can make a fan base like Auburn's believe that their team is nationally relevant, that their campus is aesthetically pleasing, that their institution of learning is somehow adequate. None of these things could be further from the truth, mind you. No one outside the SEC knows where Auburn is. Most consider them about as often and with about as much reverence as one would consider Illinois or Texas Tech in football. Oh, the name's familiar. They may have had some success in the past, but they're not fundamentally relevant to the game of college football. They could cease to exist tomorrow, and scarcely anyone who loves college football would bat an eye. Of course, the deluded do not know that they suffer under any flawed perception. So if you're an Auburn fan, here's a test. You call Auburn the loveliest village on the plains, right? Do you believe that? If so, you're delusional because it's neither lovely nor on a plain. Do you believe your institution of higher learning is a hallowed, revered, respected place? For the love of politicians, the recruiting services, referees, well, you're right on that one, but it was a lucky guess. Well, the Nut House is stuffed to the brim with mentally ill people that swear powerful forces are arrayed against them. And for Auburn folks, your reaction to Alabama, to Nick Saban, to our success both on the field and off, are nothing more than a Rorschach test. Well, the results are in, by the way, and your obsession with Alabama and your love for Auburn indicate that you are paranoid with delusions of grandeur and tiny ding-dongs. Don't be mad at me. It's science. So this year, Auburn, the lambda, lambda, lambda of student bodies, has decided they are, quote-unquote, back. First, you can't get back to where you never were. So if by back you mean you have once again ridden the coattails of a semi-literate quarterback forced to transfer due to felonious theft charges to a season filled with incredibly lucky victories that will remain an extreme outlier to your history of mediocrity, then yes, you're back. Second, you have one more victory to go before you're anything other than a middle-of-the-pack SEC West team, and you're not going to win that game. And you know it. Deep in your delusional hearts, even the most insane among you knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to lose this football game against Alabama Saturday. Your trick play high school offense will be stuffed. Your weak and timid defense will be pushed around, and you will lose the game and finish the game. An entry is more important. It won't change anything. You will be exactly who you are. And who is that? Well, I hate to borrow from myself, and she talks about that she said a few years ago, she wants to repeat this for emphasis, a place in the state to send the socially awkward, the sexually ineffective, the athletically challenged, and the mentally infirm, lest they pollute our best and brightest with their proximity to Tuscaloosa. So how is it, and this is the most important part for you Auburn fans, so listen closely and mouth the words if it helps. How is it that a fan base so delusional thinks Auburn is a beautiful academic powerhouse with a football pedigree, still, despite all that delusion, you know in your hearts that Alabama will win Saturday? Because you have been processed. The power of Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide has processed you. The most successful, important college football program in history is right across the state, and even in your wildest delusions, you know that you will never be our equal, never be our peer, never savor our glory, never enjoy our success. You will never be what you want most in life to be, the University of Alabama Crimson Tide. You know this, and you know that we are better than you. This Saturday and every Saturday for the rest of your lives. Oh, you'll win a game here and a game there. They're called flukes, but you'll never be better than Alabama, and you know it. Thanks to the process, You also know that Alabama does not lose games against inferior opponents when a championship's on the line. You know this deep in the part of your brain that keeps you breathing through those open mouths of yours. You know we will stuff your running game. You know you can't pass on us. You know this for a fact. So, here is where the magical season has left you, about to get steamrolled in your own house by the team you both hate and want to be. And all the delusion in the world can't hide the fact that you can see what is about to happen, almost like it's in slow motion. Every bit of happiness and good cheer from every Auburn fan on earth between now and Saturday is a lie to be pitied. You can yell and holler all you want, but you know how this is going to end. So how magical does it feel now, this magical season? I hope you enjoyed the Georgia game because it's fun to celebrate blind luck when luck is your only hope for happiness. But now, with the reality staring you in the face and certain defeat so inevitable that even your delusional fans cannot suppress this knowledge, how magical does it feel knowing that you're going to lose before your game of the century has even started? Roll Tide, Aubs.
Well, I don't know who to comment first. I don't know, Thomas, you going to jump in? Or, you know, I had to mute my microphone because I was rolling on the floor laughing.
Well, Katie, the girl that wrote it, she has an almost unhealthy dislike for Auburn, but she also has, a great sense of ability to write and a great sense of reality, a keen sense of reality, because I really can't disagree with anything she said.
No, and luckily, yeah, I'll tell you what we'll do is we're going to save the Auburn firepower for later in the show because I need to get your take on the basketball because you're going to be with us another 10 minutes, 15 minutes, Carrie?
Probably 10.
Give us your take on the world who played last week how long do we hang with Duke tonight? It's all yours.
You know, Bird, Duke struggled a couple nights ago against just a mediocre Vermont team before they pulled away in the last few minutes and won. They won by less than 5 points, and Vermont is a team that Alabama would destroy. And I know you don't compare scores because it's like apples and oranges, but I don't think that Duke – I mean, Vegas folks say Duke's only favored by 8. So they don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think Alabama can hang with them most of the game. If they can catch them on an off night, I think Alabama could pull the upset. I'm not predicting that, but I think it's within the realm of possibility. If you'll recall back when I first jumped on the Anthony Grant bandwagon, I didn't know either of you guys at the time, but I first jumped on the Anthony Grant bandwagon when his Virginia Commonwealth team – that featured future, well, now current NBA players, Eric Maynor and Larry Sanders, defeated one of Coach K's worst Duke teams that barely got in the tournament. Virginia Tech knocked them out. Virginia Commonwealth.
VCU
yeah. Knocked them out, and that was when I began to jump on the Anthony Grant bandwagon and was rewarded some 18 months later when he retired by the University of Alabama. But Anthony Grant's not afraid of Duke. Does he have – you know, the amount of NBA future players on his team right now that he had then? Well, maybe not. I mean, there's some guys, you know, he compares Jimmy Taylor to Larry Sanders, but, you know, Larry was a sophomore or a junior by this time, and Jimmy's only a freshman. He doesn't have anybody exactly like Eric Maynor, but Trevor Relfer is a 5'11 version of Maynor, who's about 6'3". So it's not out of the – but see, Duke has some great players too. They have Jabari Parker, who's probably the best freshman in the country, basically a young LeBron James, and they have a transfer from Mississippi State that Alabama actually recruited several years ago named Rodney Hood, and those are their two best players. I don't know that Alabama has anybody that can guard either of those kids. But I think Alabama can make it a game. I'm just not sure they can win. Drexel was actually leading Arizona until late in the game earlier, but Arizona apparently held on and won. So even if Alabama beats Duke, they've got to turn around at Friday night and play Arizona. If they lose to Duke, they should be able to get a win Friday against Drexel. So, you know, they're either going to come out of this tournament, this part, they're already 2-0, but this part of the tournament in Madison Square Garden, they're either going to come out of it 2-0 or 1-1. I've only seen him play in person once, Bird, against Texas Tech, which is not a very good team.
Right.
But I saw enough from Alabama that night to know that they can be competitive with pretty much everybody they play. Maybe not that trip to UCLA, but Xavier has to come to Tuscaloosa, and Wichita State has to come to Tuscaloosa. So I think they can be competitive with most everybody they play. They won't win all those games, but their strength of schedule is going to be wonderful. So before the people in the chat room have an aneurysm, we should probably get back to football before I have to go.
You know what?
You know, King Crimson, some of those guys get fired up when we start talking basketball this early in the show, Bird.
This is a semi-big night for us with basketball, so they can they can chill. We've only got you for a short period of time. So
Now, Drew and I will be calling back in together at halftime.
Okay. Well, that's excellent then.
So that'll be about a 10-15-minute segment, and then we'll have to go again. But I'll be with you now for about probably 5 or 10 more minutes, and then we'll both call in at halftime, which will be pretty close to Drew's normal time. He calls in about 3 or 4 after 9, so it should work out pretty good as far as our normal schedule goes.
Great.
Thomas, well, how you doing, buddy?
I am busy.
How'd you like that letter?
I have to say I was very amused.
Me too.
So, unfortunately, if you obviously you well know, I won't get to see you coming down for St. Paul's because they got beat by Saraland. But if you want to see a fun high school football game, the Spanish Fort Saraland game should be wild this Friday.
I think Spanish Fort will beat the heck out of them.
Yeah, Spanish Fort's the real deal.
Saraland was fortunate to beat St. Paul's in overtime the other night. They beat them mainly because of an injury in the first half to Trey Williams, the linebacker committed to Auburn.
Right.
I don't even think it goes to overtime if he doesn't get hurt. Now, that being said, St. Paul's would have gotten spanked this week as well. Spanish Fort's the real deal. I won't be surprised if they don't win their second consecutive state championship this year. So,
living down here, I absolutely agree with you. But I'm actually going to be at the McGill-Tulane Auburn game just to cheer on my alma mater. So I might actually have some high school football wherewithal come next week.
And then
week.
You can give us a scouting report next week on Rashawn Evans.
Exactly. I could do recruiting, dang it.
No, you can't. You can't recruit, but you can do recruiting.
Well, yeah, I could. I could cover players.
You know what's funny? When I first came on the show, Bird was like, "Oh yeah, Thomas Watson Mobile. He's our recruiting analyst." Yeah, I'm still waiting for that.
I mean, happens to the best of us. Guys.
Well,
he's the Rock.
The Rock is stat man. You know that he's the guy that if you've got to throw the ball to the Mr. Sticky Fingers,
yes.
That's the Rock.
He's the straw that stirs this drink. That's for sure.
Did you go to the game this past weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any takeaway from it before we jump headlong into you spinning off to the basketball game?
It was pretty much what I expected from a game against a 1AA opponent. Alabama showed up and beat the hell out of them like they should have. Got to play 70-something kids and saw some guys getting games that didn't even know were on the team. So, I mean, that was cool.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
Good morale victory. A lot of the scout team guys got rewarded, with their first time to ever play for Alabama in their lives.
Looking into the depth chart, everybody that's on the, number one, number two, and number three on the depth chart
right.
played. And then there were guys that, like you say, are not even on the depth chart. That they got to see some playing time. So
the guy was happiest for Bird out of all of them was that they were finally able to get a touchdown for D Hart.
Yes, and it was, and the team was happy too.
Oh, very.
You could tell that it was.
They tried against Georgia State and Grant Hill jumped off sides and they had to call it back. But after he had scored, but he's got one to his name now, and they got Alec Morris in there for a couple of plays. So. Even if he transfers, he'll be able to tell his grandkids, just like Philip Ely, who's gone, that he got to play quarterback in a game for the University of Alabama, so I was happy for Alec, too.
And if he plays his cards right. Well, he got a ring from last year. Didn't he get a ring from last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got a championship ring.
He's about to get another one, hopefully.
Well, we'll see. We've got a big game coming up this Saturday that may decide whether or not we get to go play or not.
I'm going Alabama 34, Auburn 20.
That's pretty close to what I have, too, but I'm not going to start asking for predictions until later in the show. And
I'm only giving it because I'll be back at halftime, and that'll be mainly a recruiting chat with Drew. We got a commitment Saturday that Drew and I neither one saw coming.
Who was that?
That was Arkansas high school nose guard Josh Frazier, who everybody thought was going to Arkansas, and he took a visit to Alabama for the LSU game. Tried to commit then, was told to hold off, and was given a committable offer Saturday and jumped on it. So he's not the same type of nose guard as Matt Elam is. He's more of a Josh Tapman type, and he's also might even have the ability to play some end. 6'4", about 320 pounds, very solid player. Drew will talk a little more about him, but he committed actually Saturday, just after the Chattanooga game, he called the coaches and committed.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I was not aware of that. And
well, I knew he was on our radar, but I really didn't think he'd get a committable offer. But, you know, we lost a couple kids, and Drew and I talked about this last week, but we lost Tyler Maivo, the offensive guard, and Steven Roberts, the cornerback from Opelika. They both have flipped other schools now. So,
but that's Maliva's not a surprise. I mean,
no, there's room still. So, you know, and you know, there's talk now that Jabril Peppers, who's Julius's Peppers' son, may even flip from Michigan to Alabama because Sean Hand's recruiting him. All kind of stuff going on, but we'll hit on that a little harder at halftime when Drew and I both call back in.
Yeah, Lockamy's rolling his eyes over here. He's like. Is it possible that the rich can just get richer, Bob?
I fear such, yes. I'm just sitting back listening. I mean, I personally think that young lady's ghostwriter for that letter is Rick Bragg.
I can't rule that out. But she's been writing these kind of things about once a year for the last five or six years, so I don't know. You know, she didn't graduate in journalism, so I kind of doubt.
Had a class, and actually, maybe Cully Culpepper is her advisor.
Cully's long gone.
Well, Cully, oh, come on now, Cully Hank, Cully
Culpepper Clark.
Yeah, he's been seen. He's been seen lately.
Has he been?
Yeah.
I think he's emeritus now. I don't know, but yeah.
Bobby Lauder is emeritus now too. So
yeah. I tell you what, Bob. I was in Montgomery one time, 10, 11 years ago, and it's when they had their little Jubilee City Fest downtown, and they had the Temps on stage, and they let Lauder up on the stage to do his rendition of My Girl, and you talk about a guy that couldn't hit a note. Oh, my God. It's a good thing he's got money because he's not a singer. He would have been – Simon Cowell would have given him pure hell.
Well, I hope he's out of town Friday night. The Swinging Medallions – with a double shot of My Baby's Love is going to be on Toomer's Corner. We've got an entertainment district there.
Right?
And, and seriously, the Swinging Medallions. And we will ban Bobby Lauder from the entertainment district Friday night. He can't get there and ruin the Swinging Medallions.
Maybe they, you know, Bob, maybe they can roll the wires Friday night because they're going to be mighty lonesome Saturday night.
You think you expect me to respond to that?
Yes, please.
War damn Eagle. How about that? Oh, could I say? I'm sorry. I apologize.
This is Bams.
Bams.
The only thing you can't say is the F word.
Well, I mean, I heard Ding Dong a while ago. I mean,
well, I was surprised she didn't use more graphic, but she knew they'd delete the post if she did, if she got more graphic. But I didn't want to get any more graphic than that. I don't try to stay in the business of making Jesus sad. But I did think that was funny enough to read it on the air, and I'm glad they let me read it.
Oh, I think it was great. I mean, I just think, you know, I hope it's posted in our locker room.
Probably is, because it's been on Facebook and Twitter, so it's probably up there.
There's too many big words in that.
Along with D. Ford talking about how he's going to knock A.J. McCarron out, and Trey Mason talking about how he's going to show out. Both locker rooms have plenty of things on the bulletin board.
Well, what did A.J. McCarron say about wanting us to cry at the end?
That's all road fans. That wasn't specifically Auburn.
Yeah, and D4 is 6'2" and 240 pounds.
That was all road fans AJ was talking about. And AJ has never lost a road game that he started.
Nope.
Well, I hope he starts Saturday.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, no kidding.
He won't finish, but he'll start.
Oh, hold on. Oh, have we got a Brody Kroll repeat? I mean, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about the second-string quarterback will play the fourth quarter.
Well, the second-string quarterback played the fourth quarter when we got Brody Kroll 11 times.
We're going to go to break. And, Thomas, you know what you've got.
You had a defense that year.
Thomas, you've got to break this to the sack.
Okay.
Okay, I'm finding it.
Yeah.
Hang on, we got a play.
I'm finding it. I'm looking. I was totally on the wrong side of this. Let's see.
It's under A for Auburn.
Gee, thanks.
It'll be a short foul.
In every game this season on their first offensive snap, Alabama has thrown a pass, and in every game this season, they have completed the pass. They're going for the 11. Third and 13 out of the spread. Auburn has three men down. They bring four. McClubber from the outside. And Coyle is sacked for the second time. Well, not a good start at all if you're an Alabama fan. 23 possessions against them, only six touchdowns allowed.
You're seriously going to play all 11 of these?
Trey Smith, the running back, is coming in motion now. Across the
I hope so.
Caught, Auburn touchdown. Ben Obamanu. Courtney Taylor with that great hustle
okay,
play at the end of the over Georgia.
That wasn't even a sack.
Recovered the
yeah, the chat room's going ballistic. I'm going to kill that.
Why did you even say that?
You know, it's just because I want to relish this victory.
I paid him to do that. What are you talking about?
Okay, fair enough.
This is one of those situations that I want us to make sure that we remember both sides of the coin as we step into the fray. That we have had a few good years, but there were 6 years under a guy that Auburn ran off.
Mike Shula is not walking through that door Saturday, bro.
No, there ain't no Mike Shula walking through
that door. Coach Tuberville will be. Coach Tuberville will be the loveliest village on the plain.
Oh, Bob, your fellow sweater vest man. That's cool.
That is correct. That is correct. Tommy's coming in. Tubbs will be back.
Are you sure you want to go watch basketball, Kerry? I mean,
yeah,
I do. A lot more fun.
Yeah, it is. But I'll be back at halftime.
All right.
I'm gonna drop now, but I'm gonna leave myself live and just mute my mic. But I'll be back.
Kerry, before Kerry walks out on us, Kerry, if it were not Duke, surely to goodness y'all would not have brought up basketball tonight.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just something that the preseason and IT set up. You know, we got to have strength of schedule because they'll leave you out of the tournament if you don't play people like Duke these days. You
well,
win 25 games and sit your butt at home if you don't play
well,
like people.
Well, hats off to you. And UAB is going to play North Carolina Sunday. There'll be more people at the UAB-North Carolina basketball game Sunday than there have been at the last two UAB football games.
Yeah, they need to go back down to 1AA. But they're too hard-headed to know that, so – but always remember, boys, UAB is just AUB spelled sideways. So I'll talk to y'all at halftime.
And that was Kerry Clark mixing it up just a bit with our esteemed guest Bob Lockamy this evening on BAMS Radio. Ah, isn't it refreshing and the power of free speech that you can sit down and absolutely have a verbal fisticuff and not get thrown in jail?
Just friendly talk. Really? And besides being an adopted member of the Auburn family, I'm a UAB grad, so I am sitting here bloodied, and I haven't really even leaned back in this chair yet. Hey, how long are we here tonight? This is a 15-round championship, right?
It is 15 rounds. And what the listening public doesn't get to see is that I have literally tied Bob to this chair. And so, you know, he's got one finger he can reach up and he can mute his mic with, and the rest of it is just body blows to the side. So, it's going to be fun when we open up the chat room to have a discourse, because we're sitting here live with, 20 or so people that are just dying to have something to say to.
Well, they're dying to have a piece of me. That's what they're – and would you imagine – that one of those 20 might be a member of the Auburn family? I doubt it.
They're not.
How did you convince me to do this?
It's the pay.
Well, and it's the we're what, three nights out of the Iron Bowl.
It's,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and it's Big Al on your deck.
You have to understand that Bob has to pass my house on the way to work every single day. I live in a fairly main thoroughfare here in Bluff Park, Alabama. And as a proud Alabama sidewalk supporter, I am one of the street people that is way over the top. And, of course, I hang Alabama flags on my house. I've got the inflatable Big Al. He's lit, spot lit. And Bob had to pull through the other night and take a picture of Big Al to post God only knows what website. But anyway.
Well, it's on the locker room. It's in the locker room, too. Yeah, it's on the board.
Okay. You know, it's whatever I can do to help you guys out. Seriously, in all seriousness, I'm gonna make my, and this is to the chat room. The bird's call is this: we're gonna walk into Auburn in a Jordan Hare, and in the first quarter, they are gonna be out of their minds with adrenaline. and I mean out of their minds with adrenaline. And that's both the crowd and the Auburn team. They will get up on us 10 to nothing. Okay, nobody's shooting. They will get up on us 10 to nothing in the first quarter.
I hope so.
And then that's it. At that point, then we back them into the corner and put our head right in the middle of their chest and start doing the body blows.
Bird, can I say, let me say this. If we get you down 10 points, it's over. It's done. It's history.
No,
I'm telling you, you know, you get us down 24 points, and we still get it done. So now you're saying in our house we get up 10, and what's at stake at this point? It's history. I'm telling you, you are in the corner on the ropes, and we will not. There will be no back off, let you out of the corner. Just bring it. Come on. Come on.
I'm telling you right now, you guys will get up on us 10 to nothing. The end of the day is going to be 31-17. You won't score again for the rest of the game. You might get another touchdown after that. And then after you get your last touchdown, then it's going to be the Alabama patented kick you in the nuts, kick you in the butts, grind your nose into the turf, and basically send a lot of people. How far a drive is it from here down to the plains anyway? About 8 hours?
Well, it depends on which way you go.
Aren't you right next to the Gulf of Mexico down there?
Well, no, now, there are two things to keep in mind. If you go 65-85, you really, you know, you're on a major thoroughfare. But if you go 280, and like the big dogs, Trey and Jerry, Troy and Jerry Bogle years ago said, you just go down that 280, and when you see those trucks, those pickups starting to pull off to the right, you just pull off to the right, and you go till you smell it, and then you just get out, and when you step in it, you're there. Now, that could take 6 to 8 hours, you know, with the winding, twisting roads, but I go 65-85, get off Wire Road, and go out to our trailer park, and then we're there. But, you know, hey, I'm going to tell you, I hope, and do you remember, and I bet you, and you know, do you guys, for you, Bird, do y'all ever play the bird's the word? You remember that song?
Oh, yeah, we have it in the queue here.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bill Beckwith was our ticket manager at Auburn in 1989. And Feinbaum and I asked Bill Beckwith how many Alabama fans were coming to the Iron Bowl. And he said, about 25,000. Being a former ticket manager myself, I said, whoa, Bill, hold on a second. My understanding is the visiting team gets 12,000 tickets. He said, oh, that's right. There's going to be about 13,000 of those Roll Tide riffraff hanging around outside. And we're expecting about 25,000 to 30,000 of you people to come down and be there, the riffraff hanging outside. But, Greg, Bird, if you're right, if we're up 10-0, I'm going to say it one more time. History.
You know, we've got a caller, and let me go back live here. We've got a caller. We're going to bring our caller on from the chat room. We've got a question for Mr. Lockamy. So hang in there, King of Twitter. Get me your question. We're going to bring the pain on because this is one of our longtime listeners. Bring the pain. That's his name.
Come on.
And so, Pain, you're on with Mr. Lockamy. He's all yours.
What's up, guys?
What's up? Let me tell you, bring the pain. Come on, I'm waiting. I'm here because I mean we have come back. Look, I'm gonna say this. What have we scored? Two touchdowns in the last two seasons, and only one of those an offensive touchdown, if best. You know, that butt whipping we got last year, no one has forgotten that. No one has forgotten that. Coach Tommy Tuberville is even coming back. And hey, Payne, are you coming to the game?
No, I won't be able to make it to the game down at Jordan-Hare. I take it you're an Auburn fan.
Yeah, at Jordan-Hare, yes. Yes, I am. Adopted member of
well,
the family. I
got it.
Payne, you won't believe this. I grew up an Alabama fan, but then I saw the light. And became an adopted member of the Auburn family. And look, I don't want to ruin a good thing we've got going. I actually like Alabama football. I cannot I can't stomach Alabama arrogance. And that's where, you know, it goes back to Coach Bryant calling us a Cal College. And then, you know, when asked to apologize, Coach Bryant said, I probably shouldn't have said that. I don't think that's an apology. I'm sorry to hear
you.
I'm sorry to hear you're not coming to the game.
Sir, you going way back into the past. That's the past. That's done and over with. And I got to tell you, that Georgia game, y'all got lucky. Y'all got lucky.
No kidding.
But let me tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me tell you something. I've been watching Auburn playing, and yes, I got to hand it to you. Auburn has been doing a great job this year, but y'all can't throw the ball. Nick Marshall can't throw the ball 40 yards.
Look, with all due respect, he only threw the ball 65 yards the other night to Ricardo Lewis.
Yeah, because he ran up 20 yards. Listen, y'all will not be able to throw the ball on us. Y'all won't be able to run on us. Our defense is stout. Mason messed up when he said y'all going to score on us. The last person that said that got shut out.
And you don't
you
want
know
me
what
to
I'm
go
saying?
Back? You don't want me to go back in history, and yet you want to bring up a shutout? I mean, come on.
Was this year.
I said it. You don't have to. I know what you speak. But you know something, Payne? This game, what this stacks up to be is almost beyond comprehension.
This game's going to be a great game. You're right right there. This is going to be the game of the century.
You know how they hype up the Super Bowl and then every year it's just a bust? I mean, it really, this is not going to be the case Saturday. And I got to say, it's credit to these two great programs. And I know that I've just offended every one of the BAMS listeners by comparing the Auburn family to the Bama Nation and the Auburn football team to the holier-than-thou, high and haughty, mighty Tide. And that's like the hottie toddy, I guess. But, you know, it's
I got one question for you.
Shoot.
15-2. 15 national championships for Alabama.
No. We have 9.
Two for
nine.
Auburn.
If you count 15, including 1941, which is criminal. I mean, some people say it's laughable, but to claim the 1941 national championship, and that's in the 15. So don't tell me, we don't really quite under, you know, that. No. It's in there. And based on 15, we have 9. Auburn has 9 national championships based on the same calculation process, and that's right, the process that Alabama uses to have 15. And I challenge any Alabama fan at all, in any form or fashion, from Phyllis from Mulga to Bird sitting here to my left, to you, Payne, and everyone else, defend the fact that Alabama claims the 1941 national championship.
Okay, it's indefensible, but I'll give you 41. Give me 66.
Oh, you and rightfully, I totally agree. I think Alabama got and then
because they didn't have any black players.
Rob, yeah, no, that's right. Bird, you're absolutely correct.
The news media basically stuffed it to Alabama because we had no black players. We were undefeated. It was a great season. There was no reason that they shouldn't have had a ring. And that was what predicated Bear Bryant going out to California and setting up the game with coach at USC.
John Robinson, and
saying, would you come back and play us in Alabama? And coach said, yes, we'll have to do a home and home. And that's where it started.
And Coach Bryant said, and please be sure and bring Sam the Bam Cunningham, and that was the point. But I don't argue, Thomas, about the 66. Alabama got, Bird said, hosed. I wanted to say robbed, and there's a lot more we could say, but in case the women and children are still up, let's just leave it at hosed and robbed.
Oh, well, absolutely.
I tell you
say,
what.
Go ahead,
I tell you what. I'll come to the game if you give me a handicap ticket and you come and get me and carry me.
Payne, I'll even
and
get
we'll
you
make
a
bet on that game.
Payne, I'll even get you a room. Have you ever seen the movie Norma Ray? It's a great, great movie, and Norma Ray was filmed.
Sally Fields.
That was actually part of that was filmed in Opelika, kind of our Mountain Brook to Auburn, similar situation at the Golden Cherry. And I'll have to check and see if there are any rooms left, any rooms still available. But Payne, we'd love to have you come down to the loveliest village on the plain.
Oh, I've been to Auburn before. I had a cousin that is an Auburn fan, and she graduated from there. I just never been to Jordan-Hare.
Jordan-Hare.
It's to Payne. It's Jordan-Hare.
Okay, Payne. It's Jordan-Hare.
So,
okay.
But Payne, you know, what he's offering is that he's saying he's going to get you into the stadium down there. So, you know, you have to be ready to.
Yeah, but hold on now. Payne has to agree to stay at the Golden Cherry up on a highway right off 280 there in Opelika.
Hey, Payne.
Okay, what was that now?
Payne, watch it from the house.
Okay.
Take the birds.
Payne, can I say something? You are what it's all about, and I love it. I love it, and I appreciate you taking whatever shot I threw back. And I've tried to take all the shots you've taken, and I got to tell you, my hat's off to you, Payne. And keep that spirit, keep that attitude, and let's get ready to tee it up Saturday.
I'm a big Alabama fan, and I tell you what, you want to make a bet on this game?
You and I can bet on it later. I'll tell you what, thank you for the call. That's Bring the Pain, and the listen lines are open on BAMS Radio, 714-510-3707. Give us a call, 714-510-3707. Special guest in the house is Bob Lockamy, and even though he says he's an adopted Ob, he's not adopted. He's through and through, and I know both his kids, and they're hardcore Obs. So we have got a true trooper standing the course this evening with us in the studio with BAMS. From the chat room, let's see. King of Twitter wants to know, Bob, can we roll a wire? I don't know.
Can the Bama Nation roll a wire?
Then Roll Tide Roll 1 says the basketball player's name isn't pronounced Michael Jordan. It's Michael Jordan. So, I mean, this is what you're going to have to deal with.
That's good. Bring it. Like we say, come on.
It's Bama Dog says, I've already choked on my bourbon twice.
That's good.
So anyway,
and, you know, isn't it something, Bert and Thomas? The weather is going to be spectacular. Everybody's talking about this game, spectacular, incredible. The weather is going to match it. 57 degrees, maybe a cloud or two in the sky, but sunny most of the day. The intensity is going to be beyond. It's set up so beautifully now. For a game, when we say classic, this should be.
Well, I have to say that I disagree with you in terms of it being a classic, but, you know, we could split hairs later.
No, go ahead, Thomas. Split the hairs now. Why would you think it's not going to be classic?
Well, okay, the problem I have with the Auburn offense right now is it is so one-dimensional. Yes, I absolutely agree with Gus Malzahn saying Auburn can potentially throw the ball if needed. They just simply haven't had to. But when Auburn's, like, formationally, Auburn doesn't do a lot of different formations. They just do a bunch of different plays from the same formations. The thing is, if you play disciplined ball, which Alabama is one of the best at doing, that puts a major dent in what Auburn wants to do. Now, do I think Auburn's going to score points? Yes, I think Auburn is going to score points. If Alabama is not down 10-0 by the end of the first quarter, the second quarter is going to be all Bama. And I'm not saying that because I'm an Alabama fan. I'm saying it because Alabama, this team, for whatever reason, has started slow. I don't know why. It could be that the team's adjusting to the flow of the game. Whatever reason. I don't want to, again, I don't want to get into that. But the second quarter this whole season has just been a storm. Auburn has to weather that storm. I think Auburn could easily give up 24 points in the quarter, particularly if they do have like a wacky three and out because something like that fluke play where Nick Marshall has to rush the snap and the speed sweep guy runs into Trey Mason and you just lose a down. That Auburn offense is not going to do very well behind the chain.
By the way, Thomas, that speed sweep guy that you're talking about was Ricardo Lewis. And isn't that amazing to think in a matter of moments that player went from, and it really wasn't his fault. Nick Marshall just took a quick snap, and, you know, that's why that happened in essence. But here, just a few plays later, that same player is the player. That you've got to love. You've got to love that.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not saying Ricardo Lewis made a mistake on that play where he's running the speed sweep. That was, if anything, it was on Nick Marshall. But at the end of the day, it was still a lost down. I will say kudos to Ricardo Lewis for catching that ball, but it was physically impossible before the Georgia players decided to make a highlight reel catch slash miss. But that, again, that's neither here nor there. I just have a hard time believing that the Auburn offense, I know the Auburn offense will have success, but I don't think it's going to be this extreme amount of success. And if Auburn tries to, and then on the flip side, let's go to Auburn defense versus the Alabama offense.
But before we go there, Thomas,
okay,
I mean, it's happened. We've given up 24 unanswered points before, and that was not even on the home field. And need I remind you, Bammers, what I'm speaking of here on Bam's radio tonight. And, you know, so okay, we go up 10 in the first quarter. We give up 24 unanswered points in the second quarter. I think we're home free at that point. You know, like I say, it's been done before. And this your team has not – the Alabama football team has yet to see a football stadium and a football house rock like it's going to rock Saturday.
Y'all going to be done after the first quarter.
No. No, that I'm sorry.
Well, name me a venue that will equal what you're going to experience Saturday.
LSU.
Oh, come on. A bunch of drunk Cajuns?
Yeah.
A bunch of drunk Cajuns that have been – okay, a bunch of guys – okay, here's your choice. You can have a bunch of drunk Cajuns or a bunch of cow humpers. It's your choice. I don't care which, but they're both can get really loud.
I cannot believe what I just heard said. I would contend that Kyle Field is a very, very, very tough place to play. So.
Look, we were there. We went out there too this year.
It was pretty.
I got to tell you, if you ever go, you've got to get to the Bluebell Ice Cream Factory down in Brenham.
Are they like Penn State where they do their own ice cream thing? You know,
Well,
talk to them.
Well, let me. I want to tell you something. I'm still waiting on you guys to give me a venue that's going to equal what you're going to experience Saturday.
I'm with you on this. I've already said it at the first of the when I did my soliloquy. When we walk into the stadium, Auburn's going to be amped past believability. It's going to be loud. It's going to be obnoxious. They're going to be screaming. But there's only so much damage that the vocal cords can respond to. And by the end of the first quarter, I'm telling you, it's going to be like they shot their wad. I mean, to be graphic and descriptive.
Well, no, that's – no.
But they're going to be looking to smoke a cigarette.
From Tiger Walk to dusk, I'm telling you. And it'll be 0-0-0, and we'll still be bringing it.
It's I think that they are going to get hit like they've never been hit before. And I know that there's a lot of pride, but you know, when I saw that, what's the kid's name? D Ford, that he was going to cry.
Kid? Did you say kid?
He's a baby. 6'2", 240. Hell, he's not much bigger than me.
Well, that sounds like little Sammy Gelderstedt.
He's got one move. The speed move. He's really good at the speed move.
Yeah, Nick Ferrell was not too bad at that either.
Nick Ferrell plays defensive tackle. Ford plays defensive end. You're comparing apples and oranges.
I don't care where you come from. A sack is a sack.
I agree. Absolutely, a sack is a sack. But D Ford has one move. It is the speed rush move. He wants to get. He cannot go through a tackle. He has to get around them.
Well, let's just see Thomas come dark Saturday afternoon. If you still feel that D Ford has one move,
it's not me that's saying it. It's NFL scouts that have scouted him. That's not to say that he's a bad player. I'm just saying that there are ways to counter a one-trick pony. And here's the thing. If you put a Cyrus Kwanjo, who has good footwork at the left tackle position, he'll be able to – if he's able to keep up with D Ford, then he's out of the play. Or if D Ford's getting past him, have you seen a Cyrus Kwanjo slap? Yeah, his head will be turned around. He's a good player.
I got to slow you down. This is from the chat room from Bama Dog. And speaking of the venue Saturday, are the Boogs going to – you know what a Boog is?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Are the Boogs going to grease the railroad tracks to try and wreck our players' bus or organize a Twitter campaign to try and get everyone out on the road to block traffic and make the team bus late this year?
You said going?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, going. We've already – all this is in process. We have our process, too. It's a process. And believe me, we will not hold back.
Do they use Cornhuskers lotion to grease those tracks?
No comment.
Because I know that Cornhuskers lotion, whenever you use it for milking the cow, the cow's teeth, it's utterly delightful.
Let me say this, too. We still use square bales of hay. That's work. But as far as the tactics to taunt the tide, I'm telling you, we're pulling out all the stops. That's part of it.
Thomas, I have to go for a potty break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break and sell some stuff.
Sell something for Billy, because Billy's on with us, and I love my Sunbelt tent more than anything. And by God, Billy, we were out there huddled around a little bitty fire. You know, it was so cold that if we didn't have the Sunbelt tent last week, you would have thought we were Eskimos in an igloo. We'll be right back with BAMS Radio.
Why be a Monday morning quarterback when you can listen to BAMS Radio any day of the week? Get your podcast at BAMS Radio anytime right here at BAMSradio.com.
So, what makes BAMS tailgate so darn special?
Sunbelt Inflatable Tents can supply you with custom-designed tent for your tailgate needs. Corporations, businesses,
or just the most hardcore fans are the customers of Sunbelt Inflatable Tents.
Reach them at their website, www.sunbeltinflatabletents.com, and ask for Billy. Or call 251-247-1169 to order.
The FCC can add all the teams at once. We're still number one.
Roll Tide!
This is BAMS Radio.
I feel the master.
Come to do the rest. Step in the way, multiple shots are going through your test. You must have y'all fast and targets, boy, you was blessed. And I'ma take them out the game, y'all. It ain't no thing, y'all. You wanna buck, I rip you up like a chainsaw. The game's wrong, boy, please believe it. Keep your Bible with you, cause you gon' be beating Jesus. Beating for short, stopping hits. And Archie ain't gon' stop.
dropping shit. I'ma make $1 million and stand on the top of it. Rocking it till the day I die in the chain. Arching with the fat boy adding the fire to the flame.
And we are back on Wednesday night, BAMS Radio. It's about 9 o'clock, and if you hadn't caught the beginning of the show, we had promised some rap to our guest, Bob Lockamy. There you have it. I guess the fun part of being the young technological whiz kid producer that I am. Anyway, we were discussing Bama-Auburn, just pleasant banter. If you want to join in the conversation, the number is 714-510-3707. We'd love to hear from you, and we do have lines open. But anyway, going back to this business on the Plains, I'm not trying to take anything away from DeFord, and I don't think he's actually going to get lined up against left tackle Cyrus Quandjo very often. He ate John Theus, the Georgia right tackle's lunch, for a lot of that game. So it's not going to be on Cyrus Quandjo to stop DeFord. It's going to be on Austin Shepherd. Can I say that I feel confident in that matchup? 7 out of 10, but you know, there's those three that'll be close. DeFord is probably the best defender that Auburn has, but it doesn't take away from, if Auburn packs the box to try and stop Alabama's run, Alabama does have the skill position players to exploit that. It's just a bad matchup on that side. Now, if you want to talk Auburn's offense, Bama's defense again, that's just going to be fun. Let's call a spade here. It's just going to be fun because Auburn's strength, which is rushing offense, goes into Alabama's strength, rushing defense, and there you have it. And
Thomas, are you serious? You just said that this game Saturday is going to be fun?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have fun watching it, that's for
sure.
Well,
I mean, yeah, but I mean, the way you're saying this game Saturday is going to be fun is just more pachyderm propaganda. I mean, you're bringing this like, hey, this is another walk in the park. This is a 10-1 Auburn team, and you don't get to be 10-1 by being, you know, just sort of a lackadaisical, average walk of the, you know, of the town team. Come on, Thomas. I mean,
who did you guys lose to?
LSU.
And we beat the holy shit out of
them. Come on, man. Don't give me that we did this, they did this. So if they did that and you did this and South Carolina beat Missouri and Tennessee beat South Carolina and all this kind of stuff, so what are we going to do, put Tennessee back in the race?
No. Well, that would be fun for anybody that wanted to win the SEC championship game. But, no, I'm saying it'll be fun for fans.
You go back and do all that calculating, and that's how you come up with 15 national championships.
No, when I say fun, it's going to be fun for fans. It's going to be fun for people that watch the game.
Hear you say that like that. I thought I heard you say that the crimson and white,
He did a respectable backstroke, though.
And the tubas are going to be tooting all afternoon, you know, with all your taunts. And it's, I don't see that. I see an absolute 15-round slugfest.
I've got a question for King of Twitter in the chat room. He makes a comment that Georgia lost because of bad coaching. Bama has way better coaches. Do you feel like that the Auburn coaching staff has done a better job? I mean, there can't be anybody in the Bama Nation that can't tip their hat to the job that Malzahn and the guys he's pulled together down there have done this year, whether we love them, hate them, or whatever. They've got a 10-1 record. How about it, King? He'll answer me on the
Bert, I mean, and two of those coaches have come through Tuscaloosa, Charlie Harbison Ellis Johnson, and you have to. And I appreciate what you just said. Coach Malzahn, you know, as CEO, put together a veteran staff, and to get Rodney Garner out of Georgia, to get Damian Craig out of Florida State, out of Tallahassee, and then get veterans Charlie Harbison and Ellis Johnson.
I think Damian Craig is your newest version of who's the towel-slinging guy that you used to have down there with the
Trooper
head?
Trooper Taylor.
Oh, please.
Trooper Taylor. Yeah, I really do. I think Damian is kind of like Trooper.
But I will
say this.
I can't sit here and let you say that.
I just did.
I mean, Trooper Taylor is a trip.
Trooper was a crook.
Hold on a second. A piece of work. Damian Craig is a true Southern gentleman.
I know that Damian has worked his ASS, you know what, off it, with Florida State and some of the recruiting. And get Kerry to tell you some of the Damian Craig stories from the recruiting trail, because Kerry knows that, and they are classic.
I sit here amongst the adorers of the Red Elephant Club, and how dare a couple of years ago there even be the comment about who's the bag man at Alabama. It's at Auburn. It's the bag men at Alabama.
Well, that's right. We filter it through several people.
Oh, several, correct.
And right here in Bluff Park is the heartbeat of that filter.
Yeah. Heartbeat on the hill.
You just go to that back bedroom. There's a big old vault back there. And son, wait a minute. No, that's not your name's not on that bag. Your name's on the next one coming up. And so, I mean.
Don't come after Damian Craig and compare Damian Craig to Trooper Taylor.
I think I'm within my rights of having my – I think that there is a Trooper sucks. Let's just get – I'm glad he's gone. And you will remember, and I'm gonna get a little bit of a stroke. I looked at you the day that Gus Malzahn walked out of the program at Auburn, and I said, Auburn is going to go to hell in a handbasket. The brains to your entire program walked out and went to Arkansas State.
See,
and everybody laughed at me. They said, oh, no, geez.
Well, but, Bert, I got to tell you now, Thomas.
I called it last year. I said, Auburn will be lucky to go 3-8.
There's merit to what you say to a degree, and granted, Gus Malzahn did a great job in 2010, okay? But in 2011, okay, we had you beat. We had you whipped, okay, and let you off. And we couldn't get a first down. Who was the offensive coordinator at that point? Gus Malzahn. In the second half. Now, come on. You have to admit that. And we had Alabama done and could not get a first down and put you away.
So by the same thought process, doesn't that just scare the shit out of you for this weekend?
No. No. Come on, Thomas. Come on.
Oh, well, I don't. Bird's doing a pretty good job breaking in his case.
Bird needs no help. But you guys, you make, as Coach said, great pair, said the bear.
Well, first off, I think Gus Malzahn deserves a lot of credit for what he's done at Auburn. I think he'd be the runaway coach of the year candidate. Now, I think 2011 was the game where Auburn had the defensive touchdown and the kick return touchdown, and Alabama won 42-14. I will say the 2009 Iron Bowl where Alabama had that last second drive.
Okay, no, I stand corrected. You are absolutely correct.
The 2009.
Yeah. Okay, and I just wanted to make sure we were clear.
Well, Bird sat here and let me hang myself. He knew it was a 2009. He let me say 2011. I mean, believe me, the last two or three years have been such a blur. And I hope no team goes through what Auburn has gone through the last 2 years. And I mean that sincerely. It was 2009. It was 2009, and we let you win that national championship.
Okay, I can see your argument.
This is where the callers don't call in, because that was an absolute. They let us win that national championship. The call-in number is 714-510-3707. Love to hear from you guys.
The fur's about to fly. But I see your argument to a point with 2009.
One first down, and you do not win that ball game.
Okay.
And Gus Malzahn could not get that done. Now, to Alabama's credit, because I chuckle every time I hear a fan make a comment like that. There are two sides to every coin. Actually, there's three if you count the edge. But all kidding aside, you know, Alabama's defense had something to do with that in that ball game. But we needed one first down, and you don't win the ball game, and you don't win the national championship.
Okay.
It's
officially time for another flash chat break. I've got to read some of the things coming out of the chat room. This has got to, you know, they don't pay me enough money to get to be able to do this. This is absolutely classic.
It's great for me to just read.
I'm doing the same thing. Bama Duck says Auburn sucks with about 10 exclamation points. And then King of Twitter comes back and says, has Pat found his pants yet? Let's see. Bama Dog then comes back and says, wow, how gracious, talking about your comment, Bob, that you guys allowed us to have that. And then Destin J says, I guess a lot of teams let us have that championship, just like Notre Dame rolled over and Texas rolled over and
LSU rolled over.
Yeah, all three of them rolled over. And then Bama Dog comes back and says, did they let us have those 49 points? And then finally, Destin J says, this guy needs to give our defense credit, which you gracefully did. And so then Bama Dog comes and says, oh, wow, so our defense had something to do with it. So, I mean,
No, I said may have had something to do with it.
It says, and King of Twitter brings it, actually, it depends on what Bama team shows up, the LSU/Bama or the Mississippi State/Bama team. And you know what? That may be the most succinct thing said by anyone.
Come on, Bird. Alabama has rolled over and played dead the last two ball games. I mean, Bluebell, it was Bluebell ice cream. Bluebell vanilla was insulted by how vanilla those two game plans were.
It's, you know what, it may be that at this stage of the season that everybody else has found our weaknesses and are exploiting them.
Please. I mean, you're playing UT Chattanooga, who could have whipped Tennessee, okay? And you just rolled over, played dead, went through. And who was it a while ago? Thomas, was it you talking about Auburn's only got three or four plays? Well, Gary Danielson, you must have been reviewing Gary Danielson tapes. Yeah, that's right, but we get them done. But Alabama goes into those last two ball games. I mean, that to me was such an insult to Mississippi State and UT Chattanooga for Alabama to just go in there to say they went through the motions would be giving way too much credit. They have been working on the Iron Bowl for the last 4 weeks.
Okay. Now, I'm not – the Auburn doesn't – it's not bad that Auburn only runs two or three plays in on the whole. They have multiple options. That's good. That makes it hard to defend. It's hard to build a set of keys, which is what you have to use as a defense to read and react to something like that. But, I mean, that's not a negative. It's just a different thing. It's going to be a different challenge for the defense. I stand by the fact that if Auburn doesn't survive the second quarter storm, it's going to be tough sledding. It still will. It's going to be fun for fans. It's not going to be that fun for the players because it's going to be a slobber knocker, but it's going to be fun to watch too. But, I mean, sure.
Thomas, you're taking these shots, and you guys are so good at this.
You're being hypersensitive. I'm not taking a shot. If I was taking a shot,
who do you think it's going to be fun for based on what you're saying? You're not talking about 87,000 people rocking and rolling and being – splitting their sides in laughter and chuckle.
No,
I mean,
we know
what you're talking about. Again, it's just more of this pachyderm propaganda.
No, what you're trying to put words in my mouth when there's nothing there. I'm saying it's going to be fun for people that like football. It's going to be fun for people to watch because it's going to be a competitive game.
Thomas, are you kidding me that you're saying that it's going to be fun if Auburn gives up 24 points in the second quarter?
Yeah.
It's
going to
be just fun
for
that.
Who?
It's
going
to be just gonna fun be, to watch Auburn
Thomas,
run out. It's going to
be going to be fun for who?
Everybody watching on TV.
It's going to be fun for Alabama fans to give up 10 points to Auburn in the first quarter.
You know what? I'll shrug my shoulders because I say, see, I call that one. But
we gave up 24 and 210 in your house.
I have to say that what is actually kind of fun right now for me is to be part of the evil empire, to be termed as such,
sure.
And to see the T-shirt that the guy had the other day talking about the Gus Busters. And that
that's pretty cool, actually.
It was very cool. I loved it. I put it on my Facebook. I said, "Oh man, check this out! That the last chance for the destruction of Saban's evil empire is with the Gus Busters down in the plains."
That was the Wall Street Journal. Bird, wasn't that the Wall Street Journal?
No, that was just some dude with a
T-shirt. No. The Wall Street Journal, I mean, was talking about that.
Well, yeah, but that's everybody is. I mean, everybody hates
everybody. Everybody?
Everybody hates. I mean, even ESPN, they do the commercial with the Roll Tide. I mean, you know, it's ubiquitous. Wait a minute. Hang on. Let me look the word up for you. Ubiquitous. Let me write this down.
That's not a capital U.
It's
that's
just
a big U.
It's a small U.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Ubiquitous. That's GI, yeah.
And again, I have to ask you, Thomas, do you want to do the chat room, or do you want me to read the chat room? Because I want to laugh this time.
Go ahead. Actually, I can go. Let's see. I wanted to bring this up in the 2009 thing and say that there's still a good chance if Alabama plays for the national title if Auburn beats Alabama, but that's
all right. Thomas, are you serious?
No, we won't.
You lose the Iron Bowl in 2009, and you think you still now.
Now, the Iron Bowl didn't matter that year. Auburn had such a bad year that Alabama had clinched the SEC West by beating LSU 26-21 in overtime in Death Valley. So Auburn beats Alabama. Alabama still plays number one Florida. You didn't change the outcome of that game, so Alabama would have still beaten Florida 32-13. Then it would have been the beauty pageant who was undefeated to play number one Texas. Do you give it to a Cincinnati team that was 12-0 but would have lost their coach before the BCS was finally decided that Auburn would go ahead and decide to – I mean, Auburn, excuse me, Florida would throttle by 50 in the Sugar Bowl? Or do you give it to Alabama? Or do you give it to the Florida team that Alabama just crushed? You would have an argument there, but you can't say one way or another. And since you're dealing in absolutes, that is a functional flaw that you have to deal with in your argument. That's it.
Yeah, Thomas, by trade, are you a barrister? Are you a lawyer?
My father's a lawyer, and I work for a law firm. So.
I was beginning to get the drift. Yeah. Okay. So maybe so. But you know, here again, should you have been in the game? Should you have deserved to have been in the game? Of course not.
But that's like saying LSU didn't deserve to be in the 2007 national title with two losses. Nobody deserved to be there because nobody had a great season. I mean,
well, I'm looking forward to next year when we have four football teams that are, because I tell you, somebody is going to be in third place this year.
Oh yeah,
just mark it down, and if Michigan or Michigan State don't stand up and be man enough to stop this Buckeye movement right now, somebody is going to get left at the door. And let me tell you, I'll take us back 10 years. It hurts. It hurts big time to get left at the door. Hello.
No, Thomas is screaming. And I'm typing to him, and I'm not doing
it. Yeah, that's okay.
See, and, you know, and it's actually we're screening a call, and we're going to bring a caller on with us in just a moment. And
I'll tell you what, when we do terrestrial radio this coming Sunday afternoon
mm-hmm.
on 97.7 The Peak, Annie Lindenberg and myself, I'm going to have to stand up to stay awake. I mean, after this, you guys are so dynamic. And Ani Lindenberg handles our social media side. So I'm getting a drift here of what she does, but nothing to measure what y'all do. This is incredible.
We really are booger eaters.
Yeah, this is the new.
Even though we call Auburn Hogs boogers. I mean, we really have our fingers stuffed right up to that, you know, the first knuckle of
hobnail,
the finger. You can tell. I mean, do you walk in and if there's –
hell, there's wires and you know,
oh yeah,
satellite stuff. And I mean, I don't know what any of this stuff does. All I know is I turn it on. There's a computer and
it does.
And I've got, you know, we got people all over the state talking to us.
Oh yeah, all over the world.
We are global
because the Bama Nation is worldwide.
I'll tell you a true story, Bob. You'll love this. Because we are actually internet, we get so many downloads. There would probably be tonight 200 people, 300 people that are listening live to the show. But by tomorrow, there will be probably 900 or so that will listen to it at their desk or later sometime during the week and download the telecast or the broadcast. We did a tailgate with Sunbelt Tent last year for the Michigan game as the preseason hype big game down in Dallas, and just said, you know, we'll have the Bams tent down there and we're broadcasting and blah, 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 blah. I had so many people come up and say, I'm from Washington, D.C. We listen to you all the time. I'm from Connecticut. I'm from Baltimore. I'm from California. I'm from all over the country. We became their basically the backbone of the Bama Nation for that tailgate for the Michigan game. But
we have come a long way from cassette tape.
We have come a long way.
I'd probably take 5 cassette tapes out after Feinbaum and I would go off the air. And I just knew somebody would say, I missed the show. I really want to hear the show. And I would delve out those cassette tapes. And now, worldwide, anytime, in your pajamas, whatever, you can get BAMS. Whenever.
We have got 2 callers on hold now. Thomas, do your job, brother. Bring our callers on. We've got who's been on longest? Looks like Sun Devil.
Yeah, he said he was one of your friends, so I'm just going to bring him on.
We'll just bring him right on then.
Sun Devil, you are live on BAMS. What you got for the evening?
Hey, Bird, I just want to let you know y'all are missing that the game Saturday is actually in Tempe, Arizona.
You know what, brother? I got to tell you, I think that you guys are – it's been fun watching what's going on out west. What happened with the overly puffed-up Oregon Ducks?
I don't know. I think they sent the JV.
You must be walking around with feathers sticking out of your shoes because you kicked them right in their duck ass.
Well, I have to correct you though. You're just borderline on offending me here, but that would actually be the Mildcats that did that.
Oh, the Mildcats did that. That's right.
Well, now hold on a second. Which team is the former University of Alabama head coach Rich Rodriguez coaching? He's Arizona, right?
Yes, he's at Arizona.
Oh, Bert, don't tell me that Rich Rodriguez, he accepted the offer.
He never got paid.
Did Mike Price, was he not the head football coach?
Yeah, he got paid.
Rich Rodriguez accepted the job.
Yeah, but his wife didn't want to come here. And he never made any money. You know,
I hope the Bama Nation is still paying fine for the shot he took at the bleach blonde babe of Rich Rod. And that's what happened.
That's exactly what happened. We're
sitting here tonight talking about a potential dynasty.
It is a dynasty.
No. Oh, no. Don't. Now, see, there's the other. It's the potential dynasty exists. And can you imagine if Rich Rodriguez had stayed with his, you know, and Nick Saban would have been at West Virginia.
We would have been Auburn at that point.
Tommy Tuberville.
We would have been a perennial 9-2, 10-2.
And like I said, Nick Saban would have been at West Virginia.
Yeah. Give us a call this weekend, my friend, on who you see between Auburn and Alabama, Sun Devil, and then we'll let you go, and we appreciate the call into BAMS, by the way.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I've got a little bit of affinity for BAMA, so I'll be watching.
Why? Why do you have – I mean, what is your affinity for Alabama?
Well, it actually goes back to my college days, and one of my first college buddies to this day we call BAMA. He's a good guy from down in Andalusia. And he was the first one to kind of turn me on to Bama, so that goes back to the late 70s. And then my boy Bird there has just kind of solidified it.
Well, Bert, I will say this. Bird's a good reason to have the affinity to Alabama.
It's just because I give such good cooks. Isn't that right, Sun Devil?
Yeah, that's exactly right. He knows how to host the game.
I'll tell you what, though. If Bama does make it to the SEC championship game, and again, that's an if. I'm giving a little deference.
That's a big if.
It's a little if. A little if we make it to the SEC championship game, I think that we should have a nice reunion of the Stonehenge Society over in Atlanta. I mean, because it looks like it would probably be Missouri.
Why don't you hold up till Pasadena?
Well, I'm going to Pasadena.
Oh,
I'm gonna go.
Oh, really?
I've got my tickets. Yeah.
So I can get Bird's tickets if we go.
You buy on the team you think is going to win. So you put down at the first of the year. This is the way this works, Bob. At the first of the year, before a game is ever played, you step up with your checkbook and you say, I think my team is going to go to the national championship team. The past 3 years, I sat there, analyzed the schedule, analyzed who we play, analyzed who we have, and I bought tickets down to buy tickets to each year. And so 2 years ago, I had four. I went down to the LSU game. Last year, I bought four for the
Notre Dame.
I didn't get to go because of chemo.
Yeah.
So I handed my daughter. This year, now this is where this separates the wheat from the chaff.
You know, the men from the boys.
I'm going to make it biblical. I bought eight tickets.
Oh.
I put down. I put $150 on a piece on eight tickets. Because we're going to Pasadena.
All right,
I've already got a house, too.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. If we go, can I get those eight tickets?
No, because they're under Alabama.
And it's listed Alabama.
Yeah,
Thomas works for a law firm. His dad's a lawyer. Can't I have a case here that it's Auburn, Alabama?
I'll give you the phone number of the people to call.
And you just...
Summed up, we're going to let you go, man. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay. Hey, just real quick there, Bernie. If all goes according to Hoyle on Saturday, I'll have a conflict for the SEC game because I'll have an appointment in Tempe for the Pac-12 championship game.
That's right. You will.
Yeah, hey, yep. And you know what? I've been watching you guys all year long. What a fun team you've got. So it's going to be don't you love college football? My life goes to crap after the season.
Oh, listen, the bounce of the prolate spheroid is incredible. And you're right, Fundel. This is a big game out there this weekend.
It's the all biggest one for us in a while. All right, I'll let you guys go.
All right, man. Thanks for the call to Bams.
Absolutely.
Carrie is back. So, Carrie, give us a quick rundown of what happened at the half. Or been the first half of the Bama-Duke game.
Well, it started out pretty good. Alabama jumped up 12-5, and we're playing great. And then all of a sudden, the whistle started blowing, as they often do for the Dukies. And they called some charges on Abasahan and Relaford that were even had the Arizona coach who was scouting the game at courtside on the last charge against Relaford was seen on cable TV mouthing the words, what the F. So those are the kind of charges, those are the kind of calls that Duke gets. But Alabama also went 2-for-6 from the foul line, and Nick Jacobs personally missed 3-point-blank tip-ins. And Relaford did not even get a shot off. He picked up 3 fouls, had to go to the bench. Actually picked up 2, went to the bench, came back in, got a 3rd immediately. Charging fouls, just silly fouls. But at least 2 of the 3 didn't even look like fouls, but you're playing Duke, so they're going to get every call. That's just the way it goes. But they were defending Relaford dynamically to the point that he never even got off a shot. So they're down. They went from up 12-5 to they now trail at the half 33-22. And although Relaford will come out and play the second half, it's going to be tough to get back in it because Duke's just got some very talented guys, and they've got 3 other guys that have whistles. So
before we bring Marty on, Kerry, I've got a quick question for you. And there's been a rule change this year that basketball is trying to take some of the physicality of the game out of the game simply because they don't want you hand-checking out front and hand-checking underneath. I watched the Memphis game last night, and, oh, my God, I mean, it really ruined the flow of the game because there was – the touch fouls that they were should have never been called, ever been called, and this is against the other team where I'm going, why are you calling these calls?
does it look like the referees, you know, I'm in the bird nest with Lockamy here. Are they adhering to this? Is there more of that going on? And Marty, hang with us, brother. We'll get with you in a second, but I did want to ask this of Kerry.
Yeah, they're calling it. That's actually what cost Alabama the Oklahoma game, because Alabama acted like they didn't know what the rule changes, and Abasa, Hahn, and Rutherford both got in foul trouble in the opening game in Dallas against Oklahoma. That's why they lost that game. The next three games, they seem to have adapted a little better. And tonight, there has been a couple of silly touch fouls in Alabama, but it's the charges while driving to the basket. Even though the Duke's players' feet are moving, apparently that doesn't matter when you're playing Duke.
It sounds like that there is just a cluster, and I won't use the second word, but it's that the referees, it has not filtered down from the NCAA to the governing referee bodies. And basketball drives me crazy anyway with the refs, but between the miscommunication or non-communication on the charging foul, as well as then the hand check, it's going to be a long season for the bird having to watch basketball, because it's so capricious now they can take you right out of the flow of your game instantaneously. Talk about mob money. I mean, and we ought to see Lock in his face. He's not.
Well, at Auburn, we don't talk basketball. We just wait on the swimming season.
Don't forget rodeo, Bob. Y'all got a heck of a rodeo team.
Well, there's no question about that.
My favorite building on the entire Auburn campus is on Wire Road, just as you enter the campus, and it's part of the equestrian school and the veterinary school, and it is called, I kid you not, Bob, the Center for Lameness.
I'll have to check that out Friday.
It's on Wire Road on your left as you're driving in. It's part of the vet school where they work.
I know Wire Road. I know.
Let's bring Marty on and see if he has something for the other two guys on the call besides Mr. Rock and Mr. Bird. How about it, Marty?
All right. Marty, you're live. What you got for us this evening?
Well, all I can say is thank God for Alabama football first and the group Alabama to bring Alabama in the national stage, because if it hadn't been for Alabama football and the group Alabama, who the heck would think Alabama even existed in this country?
I think that's a good point. I really do. And, heaven help me mention that Auburn's been part of that. I don't want to offend Bird or any of the crew and Thomas and Kerry and all the BAMs. I don't want to offend anybody by insinuating that Auburn's been a part of that, and Coach Jordan and the Coach Dye and moving the Iron Bowl out of decrepit, and it breaks my heart. I grew up in this town and the former football capital of the South, but I think the last 50 years, Bird, you went back to it with Coach Bryant hooking up with Coach Robinson at Southern Cal, Alabama getting hosed in 66, not getting the national championship, and there were so many reasons for that to happen the way it did. Marty, you bring up a great point, but we're all part of this, and that's the only – I know we're the redheaded stepchild, but that's as far as being branded as such of the Cal College. But, you go back and you look at the last 50 years, and that's really been, and I guess if you stop and think, other than that, the Allisons, Bobby and Davey Allison and the Allison family, Donnie and all, I hear it coming. Come on. this takes me back to Pete Franklin. I don't think anybody, maybe Bird, you might remember Pete Franklin. Was in Cleveland, 3WE, and I used to listen to Pete Franklin late at night traveling on the road, and during the Michigan-Ohio State week, Pete Franklin would take a call, and if that call came in from Michigan, I mean, he would just start going, they'd start playing the Ohio State fight song, and he'd go, I can't hear you. Make your point.
Make your point.
Make your point. And the poor Michigan folks are just down, but this move. You know, we are working with a major sponsor for next year for the Auburn program, You know, a lot of this trademark stuff's going in, but we're negotiating with Chick-fil-A as literally as we speak. Yeah.
That's a good idea because that would be a perfect tie-in. Chick-fil-A,
yeah,
the cows, the whole
bring
thing.
Bring that move back in if you don't mind.
I'd be glad to. There we
yeah.
go.
Because that's what Auburn needs.
Marty, we stepped all over you.
All I can say for the people of the state of Alabama is thank God for Alabama football. That's all I can say. You know, one thing about let's talk about this game coming up Saturday. You know, I know we got an Auburn huge fan on the radio tonight, but let me break one thing down right quick. Go ahead,
Marty. Hold on. 1 second. We have Drew DeArmond on hold. Let me just make him active so we can do a little bit of recruiting, then we can get right
sure.
to your point. We only have Drew for a little while because of the game.
That's great.
All right. Hey, Drew, you're live with BAMS. Thanks so much for calling us. And Kerry already told us what he thought about the first half of the Duke game. Do you have anything else? What did you think?
No, I don't really. I just wish we could make a few free throws and make a layup or two. But, again, I thought the officiating wasn't very good, and we've dug a hole for ourselves. But see some potential on the floor, but as I was afraid of going in, Jabari Parker is just we can't guard him. He's a special kid.
Drew, he looks to me like an 18-year-old version of LeBron James, and I'm not exaggerating.
No, he's the best Duke freshman I've seen since Grant Hill, Kerry, and I've been following their program since 1986. And he's as advanced a kid as I've ever seen, inside, outside. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he just took Rodney Cooper to school, and we just really don't have anybody that can match up with him. He should be going the top three in the draft, and really, to be honest, I've seen everybody so far. He's a better player, in my opinion, early than Wiggins. I think he should be the first pick, but I'm biased.
He's better than Randall at Kentucky, too. But
Randall's a tough kid. Yeah.
Let's swap it over to football because we only have a few minutes until Drew and I have to get back to watching the game. But, Drew, we beat Chattanooga 49-0. We're riding home in the car, and all of a sudden we find out that out of the blue, a nose guard or defensive end, defensive lineman from Arkansas, but everybody thought was going to Arkansas, all of a sudden commits to Alabama. Tell us about Josh Frazier.
Josh Frazier, he's about 6'3", anywhere from 325 to 335, very long arms. He's a kid that came to Alabama's camp the last 2 years. Billy Napier did a very good job recruiting him in this cycle since he took over and forging a relationship with him, his high school coach, and his mother. It was thought that, Alabama was targeting Matt Elam, which they still are, and would only sign Elam at the nose position. They've decided to go after two guys. Frazier's versatile, and so is Elam. They can play the end and the 3-4 set as well, the 3 and the 5 technique, especially Frazier. I think he's got a chance to play defensive end. And I think they also, with the 2015 recruiting class, Kerry, I think it doesn't have the depth of defensive linemen that this one does. And just expect Alabama to load up on the defensive line and offensive and defensive line, I should say, in the 2014 class. It's going to be the backbone along with the secondary of this class, which to me is going to be the top in the country.
Drew, speaking of secondary, the question from the chat room, tell us what's going on between Alabama and Jabril Peppers.
Well, there's a lot of rumors going around about Peppers, Kerry. He's saying he's going to take official visits. Brady Hoke forbids that when you commit to Michigan. A lot of speculation about Brady Hoke's long-term future at Michigan. They're a big underdog this Saturday against Ohio State. Have not had a good year this year. We're supposed to be a top 15 team. Really struggled. We're very fortunate to beat Northwestern. I think they're right now a 7-4 football team. Haven't had a very good year. So there's a little bit of doubt in Pepper's mind about the long-term future for Hoke. I heard today there's speculation. Peppers is definitely still interested in Penn State, but he's saying he's going to take visits. If he takes visits, I'm hearing today that there's a very good chance Alabama would get one of those visits, and it would likely be on the third weekend of January, right before signing day. All I will say is right now it's speculation, but if this happens and they get the young man on campus, I would not put anything past Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Jabril Peppers is a freak athlete, maybe the best pure athlete in the country. And I was told today, if he makes the visit to Alabama and they can pull the young man, that right now I think he and Marlon Humphrey have done some back channel. You had some back channel contact. I think they're friends. It would be, in my opinion, and in my my partner's opinion, William Barger, the best recruiting class in history signed on paper.
And also in the secondary, there are rumors continue to circulate about the ongoing battle between Alabama and Maryland for Jalen Tabor. What's the latest on that, Drew?
Right now, Tabor's still slated to visit December the 13th, Kerry. Maryland, as a lot of people think, is in the lead, but Alabama will roll out the red carpet December the 13th. A lot also will depend on what happens in the Jabril Pepper situation. As you know, the spots are getting tight, but Tabor is definitely a guy Alabama is very, very interested in, and the proof will be in the pudding when he comes on the visit December the 13th. The mother right now wants him to stay close to home in Maryland. High school coach and his father favor Alabama. It's going to be very interesting to see if the mother comes on the visit, which I'm sure she will, and if Coach Saban and the staff have the week after the SEC championship game can get the mother on board. If so, very good chance Jalen Tabor could be a part of the class as well. And then, to be honest, Jabril Peppers, they would make room for a guy like that. He will have a spot regardless, and I do think Jabril Peppers is still a take right now as well.
Now, Jabril's dad is Julius Peppers that played in the NFL, right?
No, I do not believe so. I'll have to check
that,
but I do not think he may be a relative, but I do not think he's the biological father.
Okay. Question from the chat room. Who do you think is Alabama's next commitment?
Hootie Jones, Monday.
There you go.
There you go.
That's gold. And, you know, another. While you were touching on the offensive line, it popped into my head. I wanted to see if the momentum is still trending toward Alabama getting offensive tackle Brian Wallace.
As of this time, yes, Kerry. He's slated to visit December the 13th as well. I believe when he and his father visit, Mario Cristobal has done a very good job positioning themselves as far as with Brian Wallace. Also this week, getting some news, it's going to be kind of be like the state of Missouri. You're going to have to show me. But also hearing Dominic Jackson has a chance to qualify academically, though it would be late. He's had a very dominant year, and I think you never turn down a good offensive lineman. If he can make it in May, I still think Alabama will take him. But that situation will be monitored throughout, and it's still not 100% that he will be on be in this class. There's a much better chance now, it sounds like, if he stays focused the second semester.
Also, the folks in the chat room want to know about Georgia linebacker Raekwon McMillan.
Hearing that Alabama and Clemson are in the lead, Kerry, here, Ohio State may have fallen back some. He announced this week, December the 16th, is his commitment day. I have not heard any concrete evidence as of yet of leaking from the people behind the scenes as to which way he may be leaning. It's going to be very, very interesting to see this situation. But Raekwon McMillan will have a spot in this class. Also got an update, as I'm sure people have heard, on Sean Dion Hamilton, visited this past weekend officially. He has signed a financial agreement with Alabama. I do not believe he will be flipping to Auburn now. I think that's the set in stone. So he will enroll in January, and he will also be in the class.
All right, and Thomas did some quick research, and you're right. Jabril is not related to Julius. That was my bad. I'm getting a sense, Drew. A month, 6 weeks ago, you and I were both slightly concerned about the possibility of Marlon Humphrey going to Florida State. I'm getting a sense that behind the scenes, Alabama is actually building on a slight lead and probably is in the 65-75% ratio, probably maybe even higher. It appears that behind the scenes, you know, even other recruits are saying that the hump is coming to Alabama.
Absolutely. Rayshon Thomas tweeted it the other day. Said Hump's going to Bama. I believe Alabama feels very good about where they are with Marlon Humphrey right now. Florida State will continue to recruit him, but I also think the situation with Jay Boo Winston needs to be monitored. He's from the same part of the country as Marlon Humphrey. He's had a great career so far at FSU, but he has run into some off-the-field trouble. And as we know, Marlon Humphrey's older son, Mardricus, ran into some trouble away from home at Arkansas. I just think in the end, Bobby Humphrey is going to want his son close by, 45 minutes down the road, playing for the best football program in the country, for the best secondary coach that ever walked the planet. No offense
truth,
to Bill
truth.
Oliver.
No, the folks, I already gave my prediction earlier, Drew, in our first segment that Alabama would win Saturday 34-20. The chat would like your Iron Bowl score prediction.
Alabama 31, Auburn 14. That's what I like. And I think Alabama will win the game as you win football games with the line of scrimmage. I think they're better on the offensive line. They outweigh Auburn's front significantly. Auburn's front averages 258 across the board. Alabama's offensive line, 300 pounds a man. And I think Alabama's defensive line matches up well with Auburn's offensive line. I think they do a lot of shield blocking. Alabama's very, very physical. Going to have to get off blocks. The key is going to be the safeties, Ha-Ha, Clinton Dix, Landon Collins, and the corners, Deion Ballou and Cyrus Jones. They must tackle well, Jarek Williams included, must tackle well on the perimeter. Make Auburn earn everything they get, and when they make plays, they will make some, make them kick field goals in the red zone. I think Auburn will have trouble scoring a lot of points, and I think Alabama wins the football game in the second half and pulls away and wins comfortably.
Drew, we've got a guest in the studio with us tonight, Bob Lockamy, and he's got a quick question for you.
Yeah, Drew, great analysis of the recruiting dynamic at this point for Alabama. But let me ask a question that I think wreaks havoc on all of that. Terry Saban, earlier this week, and I know the Bams have all been able to take a look at this, her quote, quoting Terry Saban, "You come to a crossroads and the expectations get so great. People get spoiled by success and there gets to be a lack of appreciation. We're kind of there now." What happens to everything you've just talked about if this season is it for Nick Saban? What happens if there is that change? And I'm not talking about Texas and all that kind of stuff. He's not going to Texas. Paul Feinbaum's made that emphatically clear, and Paul knows. But what happens if Nick Saban ends his tenure as the head football coach at the University of Alabama after the final game this season?
Well, I mean, if you cross that bridge, I mean, it could definitely have an effect on any recruiting class when you lose a Hall of Fame coach like Nick Saban. I think, you know, if Nick Saban were to move up into administration, I think that the obvious move would be to promote Kirby Smart, who's, paid his dues. It's dangerous because he's never been a head coach before, but if they did that, the continuity would be there, especially with the recruiting. I think you'd see the recruiting class stay together. But to be honest, Bob, I mean, I don't see Nick Saban moving on after this year. I know that I read the Wall Street Journal story, but the way I look at it is this: if he were at Texas or if he were at Notre Dame or anywhere else, there's always going to be apathy, or not apathy, but there's always going to be a sense of entitlement among a fan base if you continue to win consistently. It's like a quote I'll take from Rush Probst. He always said when he built Hoover up, "You build the beast, and now you have to feed it." That's what Nick Saban has done. This is the longest he's been anywhere. The previous long was 5 years at LSU, and he left. He's finally learning when you build something that you have to sustain it, and there is going to be a certain part of the fan base that you may think is just taking everything for granted, but it's part of coaching and part of why you do things.
Drew, with all due respect for all that you've said, and I think you put it very well, but to elevate Nick Kirby Smart, you said it yourself, it would be a dangerous move. I think, unfortunately, if Alabama goes all the way through Pasadena and Nick Saban says, okay, that's it, you know, I think any move like what you said about Kirby Smart would be devastating to this incredible recruiting class that you've spoke of.
No, they signed with Alabama. Well, they didn't sign with Nick Saban. And Kirby Smart would keep Scott Cochran, who is the offseason head coach in the weight room. So it would be a very, very seamless transition.
Kerry, all due respect now to what you just said, they signed with Alabama, not with Nick Saban. Come on.
And with the seamless transition to Kirby Smart would result in the same the football program would maybe miss a half step, but he would pick it up as soon as he got a little more experience.
Surely Kirby Smart's got done. Surely, pardon the pun, enough smarts not to try to follow Nick Saban.
It's the only reason he's still at Alabama.
Yeah, and I would make a comment, too, as far as Ms. Terry's comment about the fan base being entitled. We were entitled long before Nick Saban ever showed his face.
Right. Brian entitled.
I hate to tell folks, but it's like.
You guys are incredible.
We really are.
You guys are incredible.
Yeah.
When I say, you know,
she's a Johnny Come Lately.
Yeah, I mean, I want to tell you, when I say the high and haughty, pompous and pious pachyderms, That's putting it mildly. Oh, do you guys listen to yourselves?
Yes.
Well,
oh, my
all
God.
15 of our trophies, too.
Yeah, it's
15. It's 15. Okay, do you claim the 41 title?
Unfortunately, I do, but I should claim 66 and 77. I'll be willing to drop 41 if we get those two.
Yeah, 66 for sure.
We won 66 and 77 both on the field, but politically we were voted out of it. So I'll be happy to drop 41 and count those two. We'll say
so 60. Why were you voted out in 70? I've never heard this about 77.
Why we wanted it on the field, and they jumped Notre Dame over us for no reason.
You just said it was for political reasons. Well, I understand the 66, like Bert said, but 77?
Both were indisputable, except my assholes who voted against us.
Oh, okay. Gosh, guys, telling.
So I'll drop 41, and we'll count those other two, and we'll call it 16. No problem.
But, I mean, you tout 15. You tout 15, and that includes 41.
41 is the most embarrassing one we count. I'll admit it.
But
it should have never been counted.
It should never be counted.
But you do count it.
No, it wasn't my call. That was Ray Perkins pressured Wayne Atchison into counting it. I didn't agree with it at the time. I don't agree with it now. But there's a trophy in the trophy case saying that they won it from some crazy organization. But I'm certainly not proud of that 41 one at all, Bob.
You know, branding Wayne Atchison with that, and that's the case. Is
now
like
branded Ray Perkins.
Well, no, yeah, but sticking
he forced
Wayne
Wayne's hand
with it, as some people say, is like sticking Steve Sloan with Bill Curry. I mean, I think the way the Alabama Nation treated Steve Sloan is one of the most embarrassing, humiliating, derogatory things that you could say. I mean, if Steve Sloan, to this day, gave his heart and soul to the University of Alabama, and what did we hear? He plays too much golf. Give me a break. I mean, you bring a man in and strap him with the Tide Pride program, and Bill Curry is your head football coach?
Does Jay Jacobs work 20-hour weeks?
Let me tell you something. Jay Jacobs, and look, you're shooting the messenger here.
No, does he work 20-hour weeks?
It's got nothing to do with it. Steve Sloan was – you could not have done any better. And what the Alabama Nation did to Gene Stallings comes in second to that.
Alabama Nation loves Gene Stallings.
Come on, wait a second. Who ran him off? Who
Bob
let Bob Bachrat? Bob, no, who let Bob? Are you kidding me that Paul
AD?
Bryant Jr. stood by and just let Bob Bachrat call the shots? Come on.
There was a reason Bob got fired about a year after that.
Well, he's lucky he survived the Mississippi State locker room.
Yeah, he should have got his butt whipped.
That's right.
You're right about that. Bob Bachrat did it. It had nothing to do with Alabama Nation. He's still one of the most beloved coaches ever at Alabama. Along with
I agree. I think he's one of the most beloved coaches.
He had zero to do with the fan base.
Well, he got ran off.
Bob Bachrat.
Please, are you kidding me?
I'll speak the facts. You give the Auburn spin. Sweater vest and all.
Good-looking blue in tonight, too.
Really?
We're in all blue this weekend.
He looks like a Vestavia Rebel tonight. He's got.
There's nothing wrong with that. Although they're going down as well this week.
How do you really? Do you think so?
Oh, Hoover, yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's that's juggernaut.
That's why I think so. If I played anybody else, I'd probably pick Vestavia.
It's the juggernaut, and being from Vestavia,
well, I'm torn. I'm a Buddy Anderson fan. I'm a Josh Niblett fan. The mess that Josh Niblett had to clean up. Rush Probst.
Oh, you're right about that, Bob.
Yeah, and these are two incredible men who lead our young men in prep sports and prep athletics and student athletes and all. And
Here's a great analogy for you. Rush Probst is to Josh Niblett as Pat Dye is to Gene Stallings as a man, as a person.
There's a lot to what you just said.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it. I'm just making
sure. Well, I would rather say Bobby Petrino versus Pat Dye. Pat Dye has paid his dues, and let me tell you, don't be careful with what you just said. Jackie Sherrill, Pat Dye, quite a few coaches came up under Paul Bear Bryant.
Yeah, and that noted theologian, Brother Oliver. You're right. You're right. You make a good point, Bob.
Well, look, you got, and I got to tell you something, Bird, right here. This is a great dynamic that you have. And the dialogue we're having right now, just open and honest dialogue with each other. And
it's
as
fun.
I've said,
I'm glad you came on, Bob. We know a lot of the same people, but we never actually met. But we got a lot of mutual friends.
Well, I look forward
David
to
Dubose, Bird, several others. But
oh, yeah, and I look forward to meeting you sometime. But, you know, you've heard me say a couple of times, with all due respect, And that's all I wish we could get, the Auburn family could get from the Bama Nation, just some respect.
I have respect for a team with 10 wins. I do. I do. They worry me a little bit. I'm not going to lie about it. I think we got to do a lot more than just show up Saturday. We got to show up with an attitude and a game plan and make adjustments. And, hey, look, you smoke and mirrors only go so far. They won 10 games after winning three last year. I got respect for that, Bob.
Well, it's been an exciting year. I know myself at the Texas A&M game, and for all of your BAM listeners who maybe made their first trip to Kyle Field this past year, this season, as we did, that's an incredible venue and that whole setting. But back to from an Auburn perspective, I saw great things in that ball game. And I'm talking about off field as far as discipline on the sideline, things of that nature. Bird mentioned Trooper Taylor earlier. The last 2 years at Auburn have just been utter chaos and sad, too. But the greatest part is that never give up, never give in. And look, Alabama went through horrendous, a run of coaches, including the Mike Price debacle and everything else. But you never gave up. You never gave in. And, yes, the legacy gave you a foundation to build back on. But I think I go back to, again, we what we've got in this state as far as the game of college football is something we can't really comprehend how proud we should be of. Be proud of.
Our state's won the last four national championships, so you're right.
Yep.
All I know is that I'm going to hope that they will have video evidence of the greatness that we are witnessing on both sides of the state over the past 4 years.
We're getting a little mushy here, Bert.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's
you know, I got
a big ball game Saturday.
I got grandkids, and I want to make sure. In fact, I went out today, and I bought the DVD for tomorrow because I think we have the Egg Bowl tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to put the Egg Bowl on my TV. I'm going to put on the Notre Dame and the Alabama National Championship game. It's going to be shown at the Birdcage here on Tyler Road.
I'll come down. I'll come down.
Come on down.
My mother-in-law's in town, so I'll come down to watch that game.
Well, guys, do you have any, Marty, do you have any last comments for us? We're about to run out of time on our show. It's 9:57. This has flown by. And by the way, many, many thanks to our guest, Bob Lockamy, from 97.7 The Peach, who has most graciously walked into hostile territory because we are unabashedly Bammers and love that Crimson Tide. But thank you, Bob, for coming in and giving us your opinion. Marty? Anything else for us tonight? I don't think you're hot.
Drew is still hot, but I'm pretty sure the game started back, so he might not be with us.
Yeah. Sitting back and listening, and I'm not necessarily. I wasn't necessarily saying that I would think Kirby Smart would be elevated. I think they would have a search. I think there's a chance that would happen. But all I'll say is this: it's a moot point because he's going nowhere. So I don't understand why people are making an issue of it.
Well, I think that's a good point. I don't really expect him to go anywhere, but to stay, if Alabama gets through this and wins this unprecedented modern time third in a row, you got to stop and ask yourself, what does he stay for now?
Well, he might want
to grind. That's what
Bryant
he does.
Bryant won six. He might want to tie Bryant six.
Yeah, exactly.
To dream the impossible dream. Then that will not happen.
Even though he's about to have number four, that will not happen.
Not going to happen.
I don't know.
Maybe not, but it's something to stay for.
No, the four, I can see that. I cannot see six or seven.
Yep, I can. I 3 years ago, I said no. I have to disagree with you now. Watching, just listening to Drew and Kerry, and watching what we're loading up with the classes of kids that are not just committed for next year, but the year after and the year after. This is, and anybody that wants to say it's not a dynasty, I think is crazy.
Oh, it's a dynasty.
It's a dynasty.
And yeah, it is.
In this day and age, to do what this guy has pulled off, it is absolutely mind-blowing. And I would argue the point that he is the greatest coach of all time, and I don't care what Bears' record is. And even if he walked across the pond for a shank shot just with Jesus Christ, I still say that Nick Saban's the best coach of all time.
Let me say this, Bert, in my last party. I hope Coach Saban stays. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. And we have to, from the Auburn family standpoint, say hats off to Alabama, the Alabama Nation, and the process. And we want to be with the best and against the best.
Amen. Well, guys, I'll tell you, number one, Kerry, I know that you have taken time from what you were looking forward to with a Duke game. Thank you for being with us this evening. Drew DeArmon, as usual, you have got just an unbelievable finger on the pulse of the recruiting for this state. Rock Watts, you and I had a ball at the first of the show. Lots of fun, buddy. I'll tell you what, can hardly wait to talk to you guys next week after the beat down on the plains. Bob Lockamy, consummate professional. Thank you so much for coming in and spending time with us tonight on BAMS. You know what? I think it's time to take it out of here, and 31-17 is my call. What do you got?
We gone.
We gone.
Happy Thanksgiving,
and
Roll Tide, everybody.
Roll Tide. Take us out of here, Rob.
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Thomas.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.